What's your favorite sports movie? The Natural? White Man Can't Jump? Over the Top? Sly Stallone does not get enough credit for that one.
Go in there and try. I know you can win. But even if you don't, so what? So you lose. As long as you lose, like a winner, it doesn't matter.
These sports classics are usually focused on the action happening on the field or on the court. High Flying Bird, a new movie out this Friday on Netflix, takes a slightly different approach to the sports world.
The money would go direct to you two. No players association, no league.
It's 10% for you to in taxes, right?
Eric, it ain't about the money, man. We're talking about money because that's what makes them listen and pay attention. But this makes you the decider, brother. The game that they made over the game is over. It's your game now, if you want it. Oh, come on, Southside. We don't need the league, man. We don't need the Players Association. Let them battle that out over network rights and splits for the next few months while you, me, and a few others, we wreck shop.
Set during an NBA lockout with no end in sight, the film focuses on the behind-the-scenes hustle of an agent, played by Andre Holland, who represents the league's number one draft pick. And as the lockout drags on, it becomes clear that the stakes don't look the same for the two parties at the negotiating table, the team owners, who are white, and the players, who are mainly people of color. I sat down with High Flying Bird's screenwriter, Terrell Alvin McCraney, alongside Andre Holland. We started off by discussing how the idea for the film came about, from conversations between Holland and director Steven Soderbergh.
Well, we first started talking about the Negro Leagues, which is something that I've long been obsessed with, and I have always wanted to do a series about the Negro Leagues. And so in talking about that, we started talking about the sort of underbelly of the integration of Major League Baseball, which, of course, led to the decimation of the Negro Leagues. Around that same time, the Donald Sterling tapes came out, and so we started talking about basketball and race, and you know, this idea sort of naturally came out of those conversations. And then when we started, Stephen and I started talking about who might be the screenwriter who could, you know, execute it, of course, I thought of my boy Terrell.
So Terrell, you get this idea for a sports film, and where does your mind go? Are you thinking, oh, I can make a sports film, or are you thinking I need to bring something else to the story?
It's interesting. I don't think y'all ever posed it as a sports film. I think at the end of the day, Andre and I had been trying to navigate this industry of entertainment and film and television. And that felt like a conversation that became a part of and deeply intimate with a conversation about industry in general. All industry on top of entertainment, industry on top of or commodity specifically on black bodies. And that was a thrilling conversation to be brought. You always feel responsible and as if you are being handed something very precious in that moment, because you're talking about how there's a legacy of black bodies providing labor in this country for 500 years. And here is a portion of how that legacy is still being industrialized and the commodification of that. And at one point, just anecdotally, I was speaking to a person who, again, we won't say any names, but they've been on the court and they've turned to a kind of manager of players. And they said to me, just look at it, though. It's not a matter of whether or not it exists in the same way, but look at the way in which there are bodies providing labor and there are owners. Look at that language. Look at the layout of it. And you tell me how you feel about it. And then to hear people say, or some of our marquee players say things like, you know, we've been told to shut up and dribble, and that, you know, there is a kind of angst. I mean, I felt it specifically in Miami when we, you know, LeBron left Miami and everybody felt like we had been sort of betrayed, that he'd run away in some way. And it was like, well, he's free to go wherever he wants to go.
Right.
Right. And so in those instances, we have to look at how the system is in place and what resonances come from that.
Well said.
Terrell, this is your first screenplay since Moonlight, which Barry Jenkins adapted from your play. And that movie was based in part of your own experiences growing up in Liberty City, Florida. Is there a thread of High Flying Bird that feels personal to you and is similar to the way that Moonlight was?
Yes. I mean, again, a person being told that they have gifts and these gifts can take them out of their community or take them to a place where they can not have to worry about the financial burdens of the world and that they want to do well by those gifts. And then to run into the roadblocks that are still ahead, to learn about taxes when you're 23, 24 years old, mm-hmm. to just learn about the industry and what it really takes to keep it going and flowing, and who really controls the purse strings.
Right. No matter what industry it is, sports,
absolutely,
or entertainment, whatever it might be. Darrell, Steven Soderbergh directed High Flying Bird, and he made this decision to shoot the film on an iPhone with some additional lenses, which I didn't even really notice at all until somebody mentioned it to me. Were you totally on board with him shooting the movie on a phone?
Absolutely.
Why? What does it bring to it?
Well, I don't want to give away too much of the film, but
okay.
I mean, it's, you know, there's a kind of democracy that's happening because of the ability for folks who are vulnerable and have usually less access now because of the way in which technology is making its way into their hands. And in the age of information, folks have the ability to get two things in a way that they didn't before. So mm-hmm. And we talked about this often when we talked about Moonlight, is that the folks in Liberty City, where I'm from, have the ability to make films in a way that they didn't before, when the film was too expensive. Even lesser versions of film and tape were too expensive to handle and the equipment to make them. You can now edit on your phone in a way that, I've seen shorts made from phones that aren't iPhones that are pretty amazing. If we're going to look at an industry and how it keeps a monopoly on its product, quote unquote, we have to look at the way in which that industry is changing because of the age of information.
Mm-hmm.
And what a better way, what a better signature than to do it this way.
And Andre, is it different to be an actor in front of a camera that's a phone? Do you have to operate in a different way? Is it less intrusive? Or do you not even notice it after a period of time?
Yeah, you don't really notice it. You know what? One of the things it allows us to do is to move really quickly. You know, we shot this movie in, I think, 13 days. And most of our days were between 10 and 12 hours, which are, you know, short for a film set. But, you know, there are scenes we'd sit down at a table to do a scene and there'd be two cameras on the table, one be stuck to the ceiling, one sitting in the corner. And, you know, before you know it, you've captured the whole scene and you're on to the next thing, which in a script like this, which demands certain energy and attack, it allows us to kind of get into a flow. So it starts to feel like you're doing a play, in a sense, as opposed to waiting around for the next thing to happen. You're always on your toes, which is really exciting.
There are multiple women operating in the behind-the-scenes world of this film, which isn't something you necessarily see in a lot of sports films. They're often the girlfriend or the wife. Terrell, how important was it to have women in the movie and it just to not just be about all men?
Well, it was important to my executives, and one of my executives sitting right there. And so it's mm-hmm. easy to follow when from the top, it's just important that all the voices be represented. I mean, Andre was just as much a part of casting and figuring out whose voices would be in the room and at the table as I was in terms of writing the scenes.
Andre, why was it important for you?
Just made sense. I mean, the more I learned about the league, the more I discovered that there are women who are very much, you know, behind the scenes and integral. There are women's sports, I think, are gaining a attraction that we've never seen before. And so it just made sense to me. And then obviously when you have people like the women who we have in the film, it's like, you know, we sat down with them ahead of time and said, you know, what do you think about the characters that we've written? And, you know, how can we improve this to make it feel more three-dimensional? You know, what do we need to add? What do we need to take away? And that conversation became really interesting, and I think that's a really useful way to work. That's how I like to work.
And they gave you input that then helped to evolve the characters.
Absolutely.
I'm wondering if there might be something next on the horizon for you both. Andre, this movie came out of your frustration over the lack of strong roles for people of color in Hollywood. Might there be any other projects that the two of you could be working on next?
We got a few things that we're cooking up.
You don't want to break it on the takeaway?
I mean, again, I think one of the things that's interesting is not breaking our future, but breaking our past. I mean, Andre had the original screenplay for Moonlight that I wrote in Moonlight, Black Boys Look Blue, before anybody else did. And so when Barry came to him and was like, hey, you want to do this screenplay? Andre was like, oh, I know this. I mean, this is a person who I sort of run almost everything I do by. I don't think there's a script I've done, play, film, or even a TV show that I haven't run by him first. So, you know, if our past is prologue, then it just tells you about what our future will be.
Terrell Alvin McCraney is the screenwriter of High Flying Bird, and Andre Holland is the film star. Thank you again both so much.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, art, politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.